Good morning. It's a great day to be in church, isn't it?
Yes.
We've been enjoying a lot of scenes like the one that's on our screen up here with the snow, the ice. It's very pretty. We get days off and things like that. I'm trying to think on the bright side. We don't like slipping and sliding and the danger that's associated with the snow and the ice, but it is pretty to see and part of this world that God created. In a way of announcements, please remember to sign the register of attendance. That's also written in your bulletin. There is an announcement. Next week, we're going to begin something new. It's something that's been requested by some folks when we go Christmas caroling. And we've decided we're going to do this because it sounds like fun, and it's very encouraging. We're going to be visiting shut-ins. And we're going to try and do it once a month, but there are some months that probably won't work out, but we're going to start this next Sunday. We'll have a light lunch downstairs, well, somewhere, probably downstairs, maybe the fifth or the walnut room, one of them rooms back there. And then we have plans to visit three of the shut-in families and sing some hymns and have like a devotion time. And a little bit of visiting time. We don't want to be as stressed out as we seem to be when we're doing the Christmas caroling thing where we have a long list of places to go. But we'll try to start out a little more relaxed and pray that this will be a good time for the people who go and for the people who receive the visit as well. I'm thinking it's going to be a great time. People, when we go at Christmas time, I think wish that we would spend more time with them, and they wish that we would come more often. So this is two answers to things that people have requested when we're there, and I think it will be a very God-honoring and wonderful time. So please, if you want to join, you don't even have to be the singer. You can come along and just visit, and smiles are great, and read the Bible, do the devotion, but whatever you would like to do. If we have lots and lots of people, we'll divide up in more groups and we'll get to more homes, and either way it will be a blessing. Other announcements. Does anyone have any other announcements? I didn't look through the bulletin, but please read your bulletin and look for things that are in there. Let's move on to the call to worship in your bulletins. Lord, we know this place we worship is sacred ground.
We know you are a holy God, and we approach you with reverence.
Lead us into your presence.
Reveal your majesty to us.
Thank you. Hymn number 21 in the folder. Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen and amen. We thank Jesus for the power we find in his blood to cleanse us not only from our sins, but to make us new each day. And I pray this day finds you in that newness. I would invite you to add to your prayer concerns in your bulletin Dakota Himmelberger. He has pneumonia. And so please keep Dakota in your prayers as you go throughout each day this week. This is always good to either keep on your fridge or by your nightstand or wherever you may find yourself throughout the day lifting up prayers. Any other joys or concerns you'd like to share with your church family this morning?
Sorry. My niece's husband, Ricky Pittman, is having lung surgery tomorrow.
Would you pray with me? Lord God, we come before you this morning. We recognize you as the master physician. We know, Father, that you have a perfect will for each of our lives. And we just pray, Father, that we would live into that will, that if it be suffering that would be upon our lives, Lord, we would rejoice in it, knowing what suffering allows us to become, the perseverance it develops, the character it develops, the hope that it assures us of, that this life is only temporary and we have an eternal heaven awaiting us. We know, Father, many stricken with illnesses among us. We know Dakota suffering from pneumonia right now, and we just pray, Father, your healing touch upon him, your comfort upon him, and allow him to know your presence in a mighty way. We think of Ricky this morning and the lung surgery he'll be having. We pray, Lord, your comfort upon him, and we pray for steady hands upon the surgeons, and just pray, Lord, that this would be a success, Lord, and just allow your will to unfold in his life. We lift up those that are on our prayer concerns by name, and Lord, you know specifically what each of them are going for. And we just pray, Lord, for Carl and for Barry, for Linda and for Derek, and for Paul and for John, and for Jean and for Leroy. And we continue to pray peace over the High family and the Robert Snyder family. Lord, we know that you are a God that is near to us. We know that you are a God that we can come to you at any hour and request things that if it be your will, you would provide to us. But Lord, we know that you will meet our every need according to your power and according to what you would have for us. So just thank you, Lord, for gathering us as a church family. We thank you for this family and the blessing that it is to so many in this community, the way that we serve, the way that we reach out. Just help us to continue to do so. We thank you for new ministries, and we're so excited, Lord, to be able to bring a song, a hymn, a word of what you have to say to that person that day, and other prayers that we can lift up during those times. And just thank you for that new ministry opportunity to gather at someone not able to be with us this morning. We pray for each of them, Lord. We know them as shut-ins, but Lord, they'd love to be with us. But we just pray now you would just bless them where they are right now. Meet their needs. Be all that they need as we pray, too, for each of us gathered here this morning. We do take pause in our prayer time and we confess our sins. We know, Lord, this week we've made mistakes. We've done things that weren't pleasing to you. So we just confess our sins to you, Lord, and we also lift up those prayers that are upon our hearts. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Father God, we thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for the death he endured on the cross that our sins might be forgiven. We thank you that the grave could not hold him, that he conquered even death, and that we have life eternal because of it. So as we gather here this morning, we just ask ourselves those questions. Do we believe that Jesus died for our sins? Do we receive that forgiveness? And do we believe that he rose from the grave, that he conquered death, that he's in heaven with you now, his Father? And Father, we just pray that we would be Christians new each day, that the old would continue to go, the new would continue to come, and we would bring glory to you in all aspects of life. So thank you, Father, for meeting us here in this place, for helping us to worship you alone, for you are worthy. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please join in number 18 in your folder, Standing on the Promises.
Bear with me just a moment. I had printed this out at home, and I left it at home. And I should have been searching during the hymn instead of searching now, but I will get it up here in a moment. I feel like I'm experiencing technical difficulty. This would be a good time to pray for me if you want to, if you're feeling led. I'm getting close. Ta-da. All right, at long last, thanks for your patience. No, this is not actually the right one. Here we go. The best possible way to give. God's attitude about giving is best summed up in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Note the sequence. God gave because he loved. By sending his Son to die on the cross for us, he set the example of giving motivated by love. The Apostle Paul wrote, "If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, but do not have love, it profits me nothing." It's hard to imagine anything more commendable than giving everything to the poor, but giving with a wrong attitude, without being motivated by love, is of no benefit to the giver. In God's economy, our attitude is infinitely more important than the amount we give. The spirit is more important than the sum. In fact, God evaluates our actions on the basis of our attitudes. For giving to be of any value to the giver, it must be done from a heart of love. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your great love, for your concern for us, and the reason that you sent your Son to die for our sins. Lord, we pray that we would give out of love, the love for you that we have, our gratefulness towards you for the things that you've blessed us with, for the way that you give us safety, you provide for our needs, and for the way you meet our needs, both physically and emotionally, spiritually. Lord, we just thank you and praise you and pray that you will receive our gifts and use them according to your purposes. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
I'd like to invite the children, come join me up front. All right, you two, look at the screen. What's on the screen? A hammer. What do you use a hammer for? Pounding nails. So which side of the hammer do you use to pound the nails? Now say you hammered that nail in crooked. How do we get back out? With the other side. So technically the part that we hammer with is called the face. You'll learn a new word. And the part that you pull it out with is called the puller. There's another new word for you. So a hammer can either be a knocker or a puller, but it can't be both at the same time, can it? No, I haven't seen a hammer that can do that. Did you know that people are a lot like hammers? Mm-hmm. You didn't know that? They can either be a knocker or a puller. Some people go around knocking everything all the time. The complaint about this, and they complain about that, and they complain about this and that and that. They just complain and complain. They never can think of anything good to talk about. Other people can be poolers. Do you know what the opposite of being complaining is? If you complain all the time, what would the opposite of that be? Not complaining, so would you be positive or negative? Positive, there we go. So the people that are poolers are always positive in pulling people together. I've got a story for you. So, I heard the story about a boy who moved to a new town. On the first day of school, he asked his teacher, "What kind of kids do we have in this school?" The teacher asked him a question in return. "What kind of kids did they have at your last school?" "Oh, they were great kids. Everyone was friendly and easy to get along with," answered the boy. "Well, that is the same kind of kids we have at this school," said the teacher. A few minutes later, another student who was new at the school asked the teacher, "What kind of kids do we have at this school?" "What kind of kids did you have at your last school you attended?" asked the teacher. "Oh, they weren't very friendly. They were very hard to get along with." "Well, that's the same kind of kids you'll find at this school," said the teacher. The two students that asked the same exact question got the teacher gave the different answers. Did you notice that? The first kid said that they was positive. The second kid said it was negative. So do you think the teacher understood the lesson of the hammer? What's the flat one? The one that hammers down? Would that be the positive people or the negative people? The negative. And the people that pull people up? Would that be positive or negative? Positive. So how should we be? Should we be a knocker or a puller? A puller. All right, let's pray. Dear God, please help us to be pullers instead of knockers, and help us to be more positive these days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Goes back to your seat.
You just stand and sing, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic," number 112.
We have a unison scripture reading. Please join me. "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, we arm ourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, we do not live the rest of our earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For we have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing and detestable idolatry.
You know, I've got great news for us this morning, friends. Today is a brand new day. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is yet to be known. We have this moment right now to see who we are, what we're capable of, and where we might be headed. We learn from where we've been. We're still learning how to get there. But there's always power in Jesus' blood. Amen. What we have before us is an opportunity to reset, to restart, and to do our absolute best to finish life well. There's times, even in my own life, I try to make myself feel better by saying, well, I guess this is my story. But what we mean to say is, this is my cross to bear. I'll keep denying myself and I'll live my story without complaining. But you know, even that sounds a bit blurry. And then it might hit us like a ton of bricks. This isn't our story of suffering at all. This is Christ's story of suffering within us. What I mean is that Jesus can be glorified through us. 1 Colossians 1:27, and this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. Christ's presence in us is the hope of glory, and this truth is full of glorious riches. You see, friends, our once dead, darkened spirits are made alive. Christ is in our hearts. And we know that there is life beyond this existence. A life glorious beyond anything we can begin to imagine. Friends, Jesus himself, not some clone, not some human double, has gone through the very circumstances we are dealing with each day. What that means for each of us is we serve a God who is relatable. How many of you have golfed before? How many of you have played baseball before? If you're a golfer and a baseball, when the seasons change and you're anything like me, you find yourself in baseball swinging at the low pitches. Romans 8:17 teaches us, since we are his children, we are his heirs. But friends, we don't just inherit eternal life. We don't receive abundant blessings. We share in his glory. We share in his sufferings. It's not always something God will take away. And for some of us, we've known suffering all too well. We may have never known life without it. We could say it's part of the package, just like when we married our spouse. And so we try as we may to continually say, not my will, but your will, Lord, be done. But look around the world today. There's something a bit off. We could say we're living in what we could call a selfie world. All you have to do is open Facebook or Instagram, be part of this app called Snapchat, to realize the me culture that we live in. And now, believe it or not, there's even filters to turn you in to something you're not. But friends, as long as it's about us, God doesn't get the glory. I'm not saying never take a selfie ever again. I love selfies as much as the next person. But simply realize where you're drawing the attention. The reality is there's always ways to praise God. Thank him for who he's made you to be. Give him credit for the way he's using you to serve others. May we lose this thought process, this attitude that we want what we want when we want it, and we'll complain if it doesn't happen that way. Friends, there is such good news when things don't go our way. There's good company that walks through the pages of this life with us. Hebrews 12:2, Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, writes himself into our story, the very people he created. And friends, even when this life is over, he welcomes the faithful into the unimaginable reality of heaven. But we know there's still work to be done. There may be attitudes to be adjusted, sin to be dealt with. We can't be perfect. We can't earn our way. But Francis Chan makes this profound statement. You can't rid of sin without embracing suffering. You can't get rid of sin without embracing suffering. John, would you do me a favor? Would you come forth, read 1 Peter 4, 1-3 for us again? I love that deep voice. You invite us into God's presence in such a powerful way. And I'm going to invite the congregation, while John is reading, to simply close your eyes. And as you close your eyes, absorb the words of this scripture.
Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry.
So the question begging to be asked this morning is, are we done yet? We see the scars. We know the lives that have been lived before us. But are we done yet? Have we ceased from sin? Or is there still that same appeal when we were still lost and living in the past? Don't be mistaken, friends. God sent his son to set us free. So quit holding on. Let it go. So to do that, let's look at that phrase, arm yourselves. This word arm is used to denote power. It's used with the omnipotence of God. So when we arm ourselves, we're prepared, we're ready, we're equipped to face the reality of our earthly lives. And remember, those lives are filled with evil human desires. These desires birthed within us by the enemy's schemes to deceive us, to trick us, to make us fall prey to our weaknesses. But friends, today is a new day. Today and the days ahead, we can stand up to the enemy. We can say words like, "Not today, Satan. You've got nothing on me. I am armed and ready to go to battle." We know that Jesus has the victory. The enemy has already been defeated. So we simply say, move along. You're not having your way with me. Friends, being armed means we also know our weaknesses better than anybody else. We avoid certain situations. We don't go to certain places. We don't even hang out any longer with certain people. Again, Peter writes that Christians should arm themselves with the same attitude towards suffering that Jesus carried. What was that attitude? You see, friends, Jesus understood. Suffering was part of his purpose. So here's what he did, and I wonder what would happen if we did the same. He expected it. He knew suffering was part of God's plan to save humanity. So when it came, he wasn't surprised. He didn't try running from it. And many times we simply need to save us from ourselves. Now, I have a slight confession to make this morning. I do not like the dark. You already know I don't like snakes, but imagine a snake in the dark. It would be the worst possible situation for me ever. But I especially don't like the dark when it comes to haunted houses at amusement parks. When I rode that ride the first time, I was a bit terrified. But thanks to friends and peer pressure, I rode that ride again and again. And here's what happened. I became less terrified. And why is that? Because I knew what to expect. That clown no longer got me every time. That blasting car horn didn't make me jump out of my seat 3 feet. As a matter of fact, the more I rode it, I expected these items and I laughed at the fear it intended to cause. So friends, what if we had an expectant attitude and expected suffering would come our way? No matter what comes, it won't change our perspective. It won't knock over the apple cart. You see, as Christians, if we're not prepared to suffer for Christ, we'll be surprised when it happens. We may even feel betrayed. We may even turn and run the other way, missing the purpose God has called us to. And friends, it could be because we're not armed with a Christ-like attitude. And what happens is we complain. We blame God for not being fair. We ask him, how could he do this to such a good person? The Greek word translated complainer literally means one who is discontented with his lot in life. It's a lot like the word grumbler. Now, I'll confess, I've spent a lot of my life grumbling and complaining. I've finally took a stand. I've said enough is enough. As a matter of fact, I've challenged my family, and I'm going to challenge each of us. We know the Lenten season is soon upon us. And for Lent, I would encourage us to give up complaining. I know we can do it. We have so much to be thankful for. There is power in the blood. But I get it. I really do. It's easier to complain than to try to make things better. But you know what they always say, complaining gets you nowhere real fast. Think about it, what good does it do to complain about the weather? Is there anything within us that can change it? It is what it is. We can make the most of it. If we were going to go outside and it decides to rain, maybe we could spend time inside playing games with family. Maybe there's phone calls that we could make. But friends, you know what I've been through. I sat in a room in isolation, itching and scratching, unable to sleep, consumed with pain, oozing with fluids that only spread the disease. And I sat there wondering what God's purpose was for me. Soon, I realized complaining wasn't helping me one bit. You know, in all honesty, it actually made matters worse because my focus was on that pain. Why wouldn't it just go away? Why isn't God answering my prayers? You were praying for me. I didn't understand, but then it clicked. You know that moment when it all begins to make sense. I needed to change. You know what Winnie the Pooh says? Think, think, think. So I started to think, what could I do to take my focus away from the pain? And then I realized the power in music. Not just any music, it's worship music. Music that focuses on God. And my wife will tell you I cannot sing, and she's so glad I was in isolation, but I began singing along to those worship songs. And friends, before long, my pain was no longer a distraction. My attitude wasn't the same, and my focus was on the joy that I had in the Lord. This blew me away the other day. It read this: rock bottom teaches you lessons that mountaintops never will. Friends, I don't know about you, but my entire life I've spent trying to get to the next mountaintop experience, and then the next mountaintop experience. But in the midst of this pain and suffering, God was saying, it's time to reach rock bottom. And that bottom left scars. That bottom left memories that will be ingrained forever and moments that I never want to experience again. But think about this for a moment. When life is only up and we suddenly go down, it's hard for us to look up again. Because all we've known was beneficial. All we've known was uplifting and encouraging. We've never had the rug pulled out from under us. But you see, friends, it's when we begin to set our minds on things above, we start to see God at work amidst our pain. We start to see all along God's intention of drawing us nearer, pulling us closer to Him. The conclusion I came to is I'd never want to suffer without Him. You see, we begin to see this life in light of eternity. And the fleeting moments are only that. They too shall pass. And it's really no different than daily life. To set our minds on things above. We set our minds on accomplishing tasks all the time. You know the list you make and you check them off as you go. Add to that list, set my mind on things above. Have an attitude like Christ. Friends, you know, I don't have to tell you. The mind is a very powerful thing. And believe it or not, when you start to set your mind on things above, you can carry through life the same attitude of Christ. And I can assure you that attitude will become contagious. And people will long for what you have. They'll feel welcome. They'll feel invited. They'll feel as though you're willing to go out of the way, out of your way to make them feel better in any way. So friends, may we have an attitude that expects suffering. Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you that you have given each of us the opportunity to know what it's like not to have everything go our way. We praise you, Lord, that there's times things don't go our way, and it gives us opportunity to share in the midst of this world that we won't complain. We'll realize that Christ is in the midst of it. So, Father, we ask you now in this very moment. You know our lives. You know our scars. You know what we've struggled with to this point. And we're praying, Lord, that we would see this day as a brand new day. The past is the past. It can no longer consume us in Jesus' name. So we pray now that you would invite us into your presence, a presence with an attitude of Christ-likeness. A presence that as it goes forth from this place becomes contagious. And we thank you, Lord, that as we are willing to change, and it's not about us any longer, but it's about you, you'll do an incredible work within us. So we thank you, God, for meeting us here in this place. And we pray as we go forth, we would begin to continue to think, what can I do to change what's before me? And we know that answer is to change our focus and our attitude and allow it to be upon things above. We thank you, Lord, for all things, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please rise and join in singing Nothing But the Blood. It's an insert in your bulletin.
I pray the power of Jesus' blood over each of us to renew us, to strengthen us, to encourage us to live this life for him, bringing him glory even in the midst of our suffering. In Jesus' name.